In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
Peace and prayers be on his prophet.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. الذي نحبه ونتبعه.
A prophet whom we love and follow.
نحترم من يحترمه.
We respect whoever he respects him. And we stand opposed to those who oppose him or his work. The prayers of my God be on him. God describes him in his Quran as a man of great morality. Also said that we have sent you as mercy for those who worship God. Our peace and prayers are on him, his soul, and all those who followed him until the day of doom, until doomsday. May God give me the correct words to address you. You people who have been created male and female, made as peoples and tribes, to get to know each other, that the most dignified of you to God is the most moral and pious. Mr. Fok Yeremich, the President of the General Assembly, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Presidents, heads of governments, ladies and gentlemen, I salute you in the spirit of Islam. Peace and prayers be upon you and the blessings of Islam. Mr. President, it gives me pleasure to congratulate you and your friendly country on assuming the presidency of the General Assembly in its current session. I wish you success in your mission. I would also like to express my sincere appreciation to your predecessor, Ambassador Nasser al-Nasr, and to the brotherly state of Qatar for the outstanding stewardship of the previous session. I'd also like to pay tribute to the Secretary General of the United Nations for his continued efforts to preserve the role of the organization and enhance its effectiveness. I assure you of Egypt's support to all efforts that he makes in this endeavor. Mr. President, my presence here today in addressing the General Assembly has multiple significance. I am the first Egyptian civilian president elected democratically and freely following a great peaceful revolution hailed by the entire world. This revolution established a genuine legitimacy through the efforts of all Egyptians inside and outside Egypt. And with the grace of God. Today, every Egyptian shares a sense of self-confidence, allowing all of them to claim a higher moral ground. We have taken several steps on the road towards establishing the modern state the Egyptians aspire to see. One that is in tune with the present, based on the rule of law, democracy, and respect for human rights, a constitutional state that does not compromise the values firmly embedded in the souls of all Egyptians. A state that seeks justice, truth, freedom, dignity, and social justice. The Egyptian revolution that was founded on the legitimacy that I represent, the legitimacy that I represent before you today, was not the product of a fleeting moment or a brief uprising, nor was it the product of the winds of change of spring or autumn. Rather, this revolution and all the ones preceding it and following it in the region were triggered by a long struggle of genuine national movements that sought a life of pride and dignity for all citizens. It is thereby reflecting the wisdom of history and sending a clear warning to those attempting to place their interests before those of their peoples. Mr. President, the vision of the New Egypt that we strive to realize for our nation, God willing, also constitutes the frame of action we present to the world and which should guide our cooperation with the international community in a spirit of equality and mutual respect, entailing non-intervention in the affairs of other states, as well as the implementation of international principles, agreements, and conventions. Today, we reiterate our commitment to them, particularly the United Nations Charter, which Egypt took part in drafting. Through continued work to settle problems and dealing with their root causes without relinquishing the principles of law or well-established values, which, if compromised, can lead to grave consequences for the international community if those who were rational and reasonable in the world would not pay heed. Mr. President, the first issue which the world must make all efforts to resolve on the basis of justice and dignity is the Palestinian cause. Long decades have passed since the Palestinian people expressed the desire to restore all the full rights and to build the independent state with Jerusalem as its capital. Despite the continued struggle of this people through all legitimate means to attain their rights, and despite the acceptance of their representatives of the resolutions adopted by the international community as a basis for resolving their problems. Despite all of this, this international legitimacy remains unable until now to achieve the hopes and aspirations of the Palestinian people. These resolutions remain far from being implemented. The fruits of dignity and freedom must not remain far from the Palestinian people. It is shameful that the free world would accept that a party in the international community may continue to deny the rights of a nation that looks to independence over decades, no matter what justification. It is also shameful that settlement continue on the territory of this people, the Palestinian people, and prevarication continues over implementing international resolutions. from a premise of defending truth, freedom, and dignity, and from my duty to support our Palestinian brothers and sisters, I place the international community before its responsibilities, which require the achievement of a just and comprehensive peace, and putting an end to all forms of occupation of Arab lands and the implementation of relevant international resolutions. I call for immediate movement, serious movement, as of now, to put an end to colonization, occupation and settlement, and the alteration of the identity of occupied Jerusalem. I call for a peace that would establish an independent Palestinian state, a sovereign Palestinian state, a peace that would achieve a security and stability long sought by the peoples of the region. On the same basis, I assure you of Egypt's full support to any course of action Palestine decides to follow in the United Nations. I call upon you all, just as you have supported the revolutions of the Arab peoples, I call upon you to lend your support to the Palestinians in their endeavor to regain the full and legitimate rights of a people struggling to gain its freedom and establish his independent state. An independent state of Palestine based on the inalienable rights of the Palestinians. We will continue to work next to the Palestinian people, supporting them until they get all the rights with their free will for all the Palestinians and every constituent of the Palestinian people. Mr. President, while we are talking here in this international forum, we have to address a question that remains a source of concern for the whole world, namely the bloodshed and the tragedy, the human tragedy in Syria. The bloodshed that must be stopped immediately is our main concern, our first concern. The blood that is being shed on the land of beloved Syria is far too dear to continue to be shed day and night. The Syrian people, dear to our hearts and the hearts of every Egyptian, deserve to hope for a future of freedom and dignity. This has been the essence of the initiative I proposed in the holy city of Mecca during last Ramadan. And I have reiterated on subsequent occasions to avoid the worst, and to prevent the continued suffering of the Syrian people and the conflict turning into a full-scale civil war, God forbid, with negative effects extending beyond Syria and its immediate neighbors. Egypt, along with the three other countries involved in our initiative, has held meetings that have shown that there are many areas of commonalities. We will continue to work to put an end to the suffering of the Syrian people and provide them with an opportunity to choose freely the regime that best represents them. After this regime, the current regime, comes to an end, the regime that kills its people day and night, after this regime comes to an end, the Syrian people will choose with their own free will a regime that represents it and places Syria in its right place among democratic countries so that it can continue to contribute to its Arab common march and its regional and international role based on solid, legitimate foundations. I would like to emphasize here that this initiative is open to all. It is not just the purview of its four starting parties, but it is open to all who wish to positively contribute to resolving the Syrian crisis. This crisis we are all responsible for, this suffering. We all have to move the world over to put an end to this tragedy. It is the tragedy of the age, and our duty is to end this tragedy. Egypt is committed to pursuing the sincere effort it has been making to put an end to the tragedy in Syria within an Arab, regional, and international framework. A framework that preserves the unity of this brotherly state. It will involve all sections of the Syrian people without discrimination based on race, religion, or sect. It would spare Syria the danger of foreign military intervention, which we oppose, of course. Egypt is also committed to supporting the mission of Mr. Lakhdar Brahimi, the Joint Special Representative of the UN and the League of Arab States to Syria, and continuing the current efforts aiming at unifying the Syrian opposition and encouraging it to propose a comprehensive unified vision, to encourage the opposition to propose a unified vision, a comprehensive vision of the steady, democratic, organized transfer of power in a manner that preserves the rights of all constituencies in Syria and maintains their essential places in the new Syria. The new Syria after the new Egypt, God willing. I cannot fail here to reiterate that Egypt will work so that this Arab nation would occupy its rightful place in the world. This nation, this Arab nation, is an integral component of Egypt's vision of its national security, of the larger homeland that extends from the Arab Gulf to the Atlantic Ocean, and is a huge field for the opportunities of cooperation and interaction with the countries of the whole world. Egypt also considers that the extremely valuable contribution of the Arab world within the wider Islamic sphere is of vital necessity to promoting joint action within the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Egypt will make every effort to ensure that the next OIC conference, due early next year in Egypt, will make sure that this will strengthen mutual understanding between Islamic countries and the rest of the world, and would set in motion the principles of the dialogue of civilizations to eliminate the causes of misunderstanding employed by fanatics on both sides to wrongly prove that differences between us are great, to achieve political goals completely unrelated to the ideals, the noble ideals of religions or human values and ethics. Mr. President, our brothers and sisters in the Sudan need more than ever today your support. This country seeks to achieve stability and development and works on building healthy and ideal relations with South Sudan. This nascent state which we believe is qualified along with our brotherly Sudan to become the center of cooperation between the Arab world and African countries. Sudan has made great sacrifices in its quest for peace and stability. It has committed itself to the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, otherwise known as CPA. It was also the first country to recognize the nascent state of South Sudan. But let me be frank. It, that is the Sudan, has not received the support it deserves. It is now high time for international efforts to rally in support of the Sudan and work on settling differences between the Sudan and its neighboring South Sudan to resolve all outstanding issues. Mr. President, the success of the difficult transitional phase the Somali people have gone through by electing His Excellency Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud as their president is a positive step towards unity and stability after a very difficult period. I call upon the United Nations to continue supporting the efforts made by the Somali government and to fend off those who seek to hinder the efforts and to achieve stability, reconstruct public institutions, and achieve the aspirations of the Somali people for a better future. Mr. President, the principles of justice and righteousness are linked to achieving security and stability in the world, particularly in the Middle East. Over many years, some have wrongfully sought to attain stability through oppression and tyranny. Some of us have, alas, applauded their bad deeds. But now that the peoples of the region have regained their freedom, they will not tolerate, and they will not allow being deprived of their rights, whether by their own leaders or outside forces. The will of the people, especially in our region, no longer tolerates the continued non-accession of any country to the nuclear non-proliferation treaty and the non-application of the safeguards regime to their nuclear facilities, especially if this is coupled with irresponsible policies or arbitrary threats. In this regard, the acceptance by the international community of the principle of preemptiveness or the attempt to legitimize it is in itself a serious matter and must be firmly confronted to avoid the prevalence of the law of the jungle. Cognizant of the danger that the status quo represents for the security of this important region, with its natural resources and trade corridors, Egypt stresses the need to mobilize international efforts to hold a conference on declaring a Middle East free of nuclear weapons zone and all other weapons of mass destruction before the end of the current year 2012, with the participation of all concerned parties without exception. Let me say it perfectly clear. Perfectly clearly, the only solution is to get rid of nuclear weapons. There's no other alternative. All weapons of mass destruction. Meanwhile, we also emphasize the right of all countries of the world, and all countries of the region, especially, of course, including Egypt, that they have a right to the peaceful use of nuclear energy within the framework of the NPT. and with a commitment by all these countries to honor their obligations in this respect, providing the necessary guarantees to the countries of the region so as to remove any suspicion surrounding the peaceful intentions of these programs. Mr. President, the concepts of justice, truth and dignity encompass, in our view, the frameworks that govern international relations. There is no doubt that a review of these international relations will undoubtedly reveal the extent of injustice inflicted upon the African continent. I don't think I need to go through the previous commitments that were made in this hall to bolster development and economic growth in Africa through aid and investments. The world has a responsibility. The world has a responsibility to support Africa's efforts beyond mere promises, through providing assistance needed to restore the treasures of African countries stolen over consecutive eras, the last of which was when some thought that supporting unjust regimes would assist in achieving a fake stability that protects their interests, while these regimes were spreading corruption and smuggling the wealth of these countries outside the homeland. I'm aware that achieving the desired goals can only be done through the active participation of the peoples of this continent and the assumption of the responsibilities. This is something that we, as Africans, are ready and willing to do in our quest for a better future for our countries. Today, we as Africans have to achieve for our continent a new set of ambitious goals that would ensure Africans are on the right track towards sustainable development and achieve their aspiration for a better future and a real participation for Africa in the international economic order. I assure you that Egypt will continue to work in support of its brothers and sisters in Africa. Egypt is ready to cooperate with any stakeholder or party in or outside the continent to raise the living standards in Africa through the exchange of expertise and best practices. We look at the current international system and feel that we need to work seriously to repair this international order based on the principles that would renew its legitimacy and maintain its credibility. This is a legitimate demand of peoples and nations that express themselves and would like to participate in a new world for a new future for its sons and daughters. The effective role of the General Assembly as a democratic forum that would express the will of the international community and the change in the structure of the Security Council, which still represents an era that is completely obsolete as far as our current world is concerned. Both the General Assembly and the Security Council must be reformed as an utmost priority that has to be dealt with with the necessary seriousness. I would like to emphasize the need for the United Nations to give special attention to supporting issues of women and youth. I have proposed during the non-aligned movement summit in Tehran a new initiative to establish a UN body solely dedicated to youth issues, giving particular attention to the issues of education, training, employment, and improving youth's participation in political life. This would bolster the capacity of future generations to achieve their aspirations. Mr. President, Egypt stresses that the international system will not be fixed as long as we have double standards. We expect from others, as they expect from us, that they respect our cultural specificities and religious references, and not to seek to impose concepts or cultures that are not acceptable to us, or politicize certain issues and use them as a pretext to intervene in the affairs of others. What Muslims and migrants are going through in a number of countries, in a certain number of regions in the world, in terms of discrimination and violation of their human rights, and vicious campaigns against what they hold sacred, is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. The behavior by some individuals, and the insults hurled on the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, is rejected. We reject this. We cannot accept it. And we will be the opponents of those who do this. We will not allow anyone to do this by word or deed. This runs against the most basic principles of the organization where we meet today. And unfortunately, today it has now acquired a name, which is Islamophobia. We all have to work together. We must join hands in confronting these regressive ideas that hinder cooperation among us. We must move together to confront extremism and discrimination and incitement to hatred on the basis of religion or race. The General Assembly, as well as the Security Council, has a main responsibility in addressing this phenomenon that is starting to have implications that clearly affect international peace and security. The obscenities that I have referred to were recently released as part of an organized campaign against Islamic sanctities are unacceptable and require from us a firm stand. We have a responsibility in this international gathering to study how we can protect the world from instability and hatred. Egypt respects freedom of expression. Freedom of expression that is not used to incite hatred against anyone. Not a freedom of expression that targets a specific religion or a specific culture. A freedom of expression that tackles extremism and violence, not the freedom of expression that deepens ignorance and disregards others. But we also, as we have said before and reaffirmed before, we also stand firmly against the use of violence in expressing objection to these obscenities. Mr. President, before I conclude, I must state that the severity and recurrence of financial and economic crises must lead us to review the international economic decision-making process that affect the fate of peoples that do not participate in their preparation. Yet, they are the first to bear their negative consequences on growth, trade, and environment, as well as on the social fabric of society, as a result of unfair trade rules and conditionalities imposed on the transfer of technology and access to the necessary financing for development. There is a need for a new global economic governance. I say there is an urgent need for a new global economic governance centered on people and aiming at consolidating cooperation between partners in development on the basis of mutual benefit and interest. Mr. President, I have laid before you our vision, a vision shared by the Egyptian people. I have also attempted to briefly outline Egypt's views on the main issues, the vision of the young and the children, the women and the men in Egypt, on all important questions in the Middle East and the rest of the world. In the Middle East, Africa, and the world. From this perspective, I am sure that the United Nations is capable of assuming its intended role in addressing all global and regional challenges through dialogue, understanding, and joint cooperation in accordance with the principles of the international law. Egypt post-revolution will spare no effort in dealing sincerely with all the members of this organization. We will always remain at the forefront of international endeavor, aiming at achieving freedom, justice, and dignity of all peoples, as well as social justice for all peoples, including security and stability for all our countries. I look forward with optimism, great optimism, and I see the peace that we call for prevailing all over this world, peace that is based on justice, a peace that will give all their rights undiminished, a peace that does not discriminate between one and another for any reason. This peace will never prevail until we all cooperate, until we all realize that we are all equal, and that we share many aspirations and ambitions. A peace whose message I bring to you, a peace of right and justice, stability and development, interdependence, love and mutual respect. I don't believe that this is difficult for all of us. If we extend our hand of cooperation, a sincere intention, and a righteous work, God is our witness. We are all hopeful that we will see a better future for this world. I thank you all, and peace and prayers be upon you.
باسم الجمعية العامة. On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank the President of the Arab Republic of Egypt for the statement just made. May I request representatives to remain seated while we greet His Excellency the President.